The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. La lofa ata aon. Tis a bit of a rotten day this morning. Tis a bit mucky out there. It's raining, but that's all the more reason to put on the kettle and make a cup of tea and sit back and relax and enjoy the programme. Eamon Kelly once said in a story that country people don't mind the rain. They say it never melted anyone. If you want to get in touch with the programme, you can call us. Let's take your calls 066 712 3666. You can text the WhatsApp on 083 300 3300. We have a very busy programme for you as always, because on the Saturday Supplement this morning we'll hear from the charities involved in this year's Wing of Kerry Charity Cycle. We'll also hear from Leslie Bond, the author of a new book called Blasket Bound. Leslie and her now husband were the first couple to sign up for the 6-month stint as caretakers on the Great Blasket Island. It's something I would have loved to have done myself, but maybe it isn't as glamorous or as nice as it seems, but we'll find out all about it. We'll also hear episode 5 in our series, Voices of the Future in Kerry. In this programme, Seana O'Sullivan shares a personal reflection inspired by her TEDx talk, Behind the Selfie, Who Are We Really? And Seana did a great job of that, so it's well worth staying tuned for. But like I mentioned, the Ring of Kerry Charity Cycle is back on the road on July 4th of this year. The iconic cycling event, now in its 44th year, takes place along one of the world's most renowned touring routes, the Ring of Kerry, a 170-kilometre circular route starting and ending in the beautiful town of Killarney. And first and foremost, the purpose of the event is to raise much needed funds for national and local charities. And since the inaugural cycle back in 1982, the year I was born, this event has raised in excess of 21.9 million euro for more than 200 charities and voluntary community organisations. It's a huge success story, and the man behind it all, he won't like me saying it that it didn't end that way, but Cathal Walsh, PRO Ring of Kerry Cycle, joins us and we will be talking to the charities very shortly. Cathal, you're very welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm very good, Joe, despite the misty weather we have, but sure, look, we have to take what we have and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm so looking forward to the 4th of July and the running of this year's event and the wonderful charities that we're working with, of which people will hear from on radio here this morning. And before we start, Joe, I must congratulate Radio Kerry on the increase in the listenership, and it's due to people like you and the presenters from the top down that has made Radio Kerry. It's a vital communication link for us with the Ring of Kerry Cycle, and I must say congratulate Radio Kerry and all that.
Thanks for that. Before we get into the serious business of the Ring of Kerry, you're celebrating an important milestone tonight. Tell us about it.
Well, in the Plaza Hotel tonight in Killarney, I'll be celebrating my 80th birthday.
Whoa.
And it's something I'm very proud of. It's something that none of my siblings have reached, and unique in another sense that none of them live to see a grandchild.
Whoa.
And I've lived to see 4.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of that. And it's not about me, the celebration. It's about the friends that I've made.
Mm.
And we're going to have quite a massive attendance at this function tonight.
Yeah.
And if there is anybody that I forgot to invite, I'm inviting you now.
You've got to be careful now. With the increased listenership, you could have a massive crowd coming in the door. But you have a great way of looking at things, Cathal, because like a lot of people, you've gone through a lot in your life personally and yeah, through loss in your own health and everything. And it's amazing how well you're looking here today as well. So yeah, is it that positive outlook that has endured you?
Because would you believe, I lost my dad when I was 16.
Whoa.
Had to move out of Galway City where we're living, right? And luckily enough, his mother had left him a little house and 20 acres of land in a place called Holly Mount in County Mayo. So I have a bit of Mayo blood in him. And I went there to live with my mother, and that's when I all started cycling. I had to cycle from leaving the centre of Galway City. Eglinton Street would be identified as the CEO applications office. That's the street where I was born.
Right.
But hop up on my bike every morning, cycle 9 miles into school, hail, rain or snow, Monday through to Saturday for a half day on a Saturday. And Sunday was the only day off you had.
Oh.
And it changed my whole life. I lost all my friends that I played football and hurling and rugby and everything with. But I settled into the community, and by way, I spent 2 years then, did my leaving cert in the CBS Ballinrobe. And I went for two jobs. One was for the Munster and Leinster Bank. We had an interview down in the South Mall in Cork. And at the same time, as a guard, I had the exam. And I was, whichever interview came first. And I said, my father was a guard, my uncle was a guard, my brother was a guard. So I said, Jesus, there's a message there somewhere, Carl. So I took the option of going to Templemore.
Wow. Yeah.
And came to the lovely county of Kerry, and I've fallen in love twice in Kerry. First with my beautiful June, my Rosa Tralee, and the county of Kerry, and in particular the people of Killarney.
Yeah.
That's what I'm celebrating tonight.
Yeah, well, look, have a great night tonight. And I think it's fitting that you're on then, talking about the Riga Kerry this morning. Yeah, it's kind of a nice day, the way it's planning out.
It's a total coincidence, because do you know why I'm having this party tonight? Do you know when you get a few bob back from the revenue? I said, I was thinking about it, but that convinced me. I said, look, I'm getting a few bob back, and we'll blow it tonight.
Yeah. You know, I was saying, this event is through my lifetime. It's in its 44th year.
That's right, yeah.
So, and I know I've asked you this before, but did you ever think, when you kind of came up with the idea, what it would become and what it has raised? 21.9 million. Wow.
I know. And like, we started off with less than 40 cyclists. That number grew into hundreds, then it grew into thousands. But after 25 years, we were kind of amateurs, and things began to become more professional, shall we say. So I stayed on as a link with the original committee to the new committee, and I've seen it growing. Like, I mean, we had 11,000 cyclists. And it was getting a bit dangerous, like,
one
bad accident and your Ben Jacks, you know.
Yeah.
But we're happy with the numbers we have now, because it's more manageable, catering, feeding the people on the cycle. We look after them in three, in Cahir Savine, Colas and Eskelga. Brilliant to have that facility, Kinmare and Killarney.
Yeah.
And they love the brack, they love the bananas, they love the water, they love the people they meet on the side of the road, cheering them on, the cyclists.
Yeah.
I cycled 19 consecutive years myself, until illness came in my way.
Yeah.
But it's the most wonderful event ever. And it's something I'm very passionate about. And my dream would be, I would love, if I was to dream to do the cycle this year, would be going to the top of Cumacista, looking out onto the Skelligs, and freewheeling down to Cahir Daniel. My God, I would love to be able to do it.
I think you have a lot of people sold there. Just in relation to the event itself, it's July 4th, so that's kind of a significant day in Killarney usually anyway. You know, it's the 4th of July for the American visitors and all that.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a bigger event this year.
A festival now, covering our event, and we have the racing festival in July. So it's a new event, if you like, incorporating all the things that are happening in Killarney at that particular time. And there's a great buzz around the place for it, and the Beach Road car park, and working closely with the council and with the Gardaí, and we have a charities committee, we have a medical committee, we have OG. Do you know what? This has been Bike Week. It finishes tomorrow.
Right.
Ironically, next week is Volunteer Week, and everybody that takes part, there's a link there, everybody that puts their bum up on the bike is a volunteer, everybody that looks after them, the GAA clubs that we have around the Ring of Kerry that help us with stewarding, with their whistles and flags, there's so many people involved in it. I couldn't give a figure, but to be honest with you, without it, we couldn't do the cycle.
Yeah, and you're after reminding me there of volunteers and things. John Francis Garvey, used to have the bulk tank with water and give it out.
In November, he passed away. And I attended his funeral, and the family were very moved when I put a Ring of Kerry charity cycle jersey on the coffin.
Yeah, and he used to just do that on his own bat.
Absolutely, and he'd make his way from Filemore down to the top of Cumacista, and he was there dishing out from his own spring in Filemore. He lived there in Filemore on the way down. Mm-hmm. And the one thing, I never saw that church first year we cycled because the wind and the rain driving down, and you think you could freewheel into cars. I mean, no way, Jose. And into the ringside rest, and you're dripping water. We just tried the place, and we were only a small number that time.
From humble beginnings to what it has grown to. Very good. So we are going to be talking to the rest of the charities. Maybe you have a memory yourself of the Ring of Kerry cycle, charity cycle, or you want to get in touch to wish our main beneficiaries well. You can text 083-300-3300, or you can call us 066-712-3666. Dervis, take your calls. We'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
That's what you're listening. I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. The messages are flying in on 083-300-3300, and you can call us as well. Devilers, take your calls. 066-712-3666. We're talking about the Ring of Kerry charity cycle, which is taking place on July 4th of this year, and we're talking to the main beneficiaries. And now I'm delighted to say we're going to be talking to Ginny Trant, the Vice Chair of Kerry Hospice Foundation, and Maura O'Sullivan, the Treasurer. And we also have a Chairperson of Down Syndrome Kerry, John O'Connor. You're all very welcome.
Thank you very much, John.
Ginny, we'll start with yourself. Tell us about the Kerry Hospice Foundation, for people that wouldn't know.
It was set up in 1990, and we've been going from strength to strength since then. In 2007, we opened our outpatient unit. In 2017, we opened an inpatient, 15-bed inpatient unit. And I suppose since then, it's like building a house. You always see something that needs to be done or improved upon. And since we opened the inpatient unit, the 15 beds that were opened have been in full occupancy ever since. So we really needed extra beds in it. So we're at the moment extending it by 5 new bedrooms. So the building started last September, October, and it's full steam ahead at the moment. We've had to close off one room and add 3 rooms at that side. It's like it's kind of shaped in a T, so we're putting 3 rooms at one side and 2 rooms at the other side. So we had to close off, so we're down to 14 bedrooms at the moment. But hopefully those 3 bedrooms will be completed by September, October this year. And we're hoping to have the other 2 rooms opened in early 2027. So all the building, everything that has been done has been fundraised voluntarily by the people of Kerry, and we don't qualify for grants or anything like that. So everything that is there is because of the people of Kerry. And we're really grateful to the Cahill and all in the Ring of Kerry for nominating us this year as one of the beneficiary charities, because it really will help us along our way with fundraising and all that. But people are fantastic for fundraising for charities anyway in Kerry. And we have a very generous county here. But with our charity as well, we have other than just the building, we have to keep the business working at the same time. So we have advanced nurse practitioners to go out into the community. We have people, if they don't want to go into the hospital, they can stay at home.
Right.
So we provide facilities for that. And
which is amazing, yeah.
It is,
yeah,
and it helps the people to stay at home and in their own environment, wherever they want. Mm. So, like, I suppose palliative care is really to help people at end of life make life as easy as possible for both the, the patient and for their families. And anyone that has ever used the facilities inside have just praised it, because it's the staff inside there. They're just fantastic people.
Yeah, it's not so just the bricks and mortar.
It's not. Yeah. And it's from top to bottom, from, as I say, from the consultants, the nurses, even the canteen staff, everyone are just fantastic inside there.
Yeah, but even the bricks and mortar, I've been into it. It is a wonderful building. It's not cold. Or
it's not.
It's fine, big. The rooms are big. It's airy.
And it's
the colours, everything. It's, you know, it is kind of a, you don't want to be there, but it's a nice place if you are
but
there.
But it is, yeah. It is, yeah. And I suppose, like, part of the, I know we're talking about the 5 bedrooms. We're also improving the facilities as well for families when they stay there with their loved ones. Because some people have young children, and we had, Donald's Den inside there as well. But we're expanding on that now, and we're going to improve the facilities, because children come from in all ages, you know, and families come in different makeups. So we just need to, we're listening to the families that have used it, and we're taking that on board, and we're expanding different facilities inside there for them.
Yeah. Maura, tell us yourself, how did you get involved?
So, thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
I got involved with the hospice about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I lost a sister to cancer, and Teddy Moynihan was a neighbour of ours in Blenheim at the time.
Lovely man, yeah.
So Teddy approached me to get involved with the hospice, and you couldn't say no to Ted, to be fair. So I'm involved since in different capacities, and I'm locally based here, so I kind of keep the show on the road and tree a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And it's a great organisation, and people are very, very generous towards us.
Yeah.
So I suppose our big challenge now is that we have Kerry at the minute, and we're recruiting cyclists. So we would love if people would sign up for the hospice, and all the money that is raised in Kerry stays in Kerry. We're very proud of that, as Jenny just explained. Our building is going to cost in the region of 6.5 million, and all that money will be raised locally.
Yeah.
And we're very proud of that, and very proud to say that the money will stay local.
Yeah, excellent. I'm glad you mentioned Teddy Moynihan as well. Like, I interviewed Teddy. What a wonderful man he was.
Great man, yeah. I suppose we really wouldn't have hospice in Kerry only for Ted and Tom McCormack and a few other guys like that that had the foresight to see that we needed it.
Yeah.
And it started very basic, and here we are now.
Yeah.
We're very proud of what we have and how far we've come.
And I suppose you do need things like as big as the Ring of Kerry Charity Cycle, because the costs involved in building anything nowadays is just astronomical.
So we were involved in the Ring in numerous years, actually. And in 12, 13, 14, Pim Cahill said there earlier on, there used to be about 11,000 cyclists. We made over 200,000 on the Ring those years.
Wow.
So that was incredible for us, that kind of money for one event.
Yeah.
And so likewise, this year now we're hoping that we'll touch something like that. So come on, everybody, cycle for Kerry Hospice.
Very good. John O'Connor, chairperson of Down Syndrome Kerry, tell us about your organisation.
Joe, we're delighted to be here this morning. Down Syndrome Kerry, as you know, has been in existence for a long number of years now. And we're happy to say that we provide services around the county to about 200 people. From very young, obviously, to much older generation as well. And the key service really is speech and language therapy. And we're happy to see, I know, we provide a service now in Carsevine, Dingle, Listowel, Killarney and Tralee. And as anyone will know, coming up from Valencia or Port Magee, it's fantastic to have the service there in Carsevine, so people aren't travelling and there's far less hassle for the young people involved as well.
Yeah.
And it's the absolutely key. It's the number one service that our members require.
Yeah.
Now, we're also, of course, trying to move along in the whole employability end of things, Joe. And we're happy to see, as Cahill will know well, the Ardenagh Lodge in Killarney is one of our sort of flagship bases, I suppose. And last year we had 30 young people employed there. I know they were working relatively short shifts.
Yeah.
We paid them, and the idea then is obviously they will find other employment. Very often our members end up working in the, I suppose, restaurant business because they're... They're wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful people.
Yeah.
Wonderful young
Very
people.
Very sociable as
and
well.
And it's all about, really, it's all about ability, you know.
Yeah.
And we're delighted to see it as well that we get great help as well from lots of different organisations and the people that carry has already said it, absolutely fantastically generous. We are an entirely self-funded organisation, and I suppose our costs in the year are around $500,000 a year, so it's a lot of money to raise. And that's obviously a challenge for us, so we're delighted as well to have the help, and the help over the long number of years from the Ring of Kerry Cycle.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of money.
It keeps us it keeps us afloat. We're delighted to say that we're currently about to sign a contract with Kerry County Council for a premises in Blennerville, which will be a Millhouse Cafe. And that would be a super place for young people to find employment, because very often we are the main employers, and the idea there was they will be trained in food prep, dealing with the public, and the aim then is obviously for them to find employment afterwards. Mm. So we're looking at people there from the age of 16 onwards, I suppose, Joe, you know?
Mm.
So they are the key things. The other, I suppose, really worrying thing, and it's not only obviously for people with Down syndrome, but our population is getting older.
Yeah.
And very often the carers are older, and in some instances they're finding it very difficult maybe to bring people to services, to look after people. And respite is something as well that we would be looking at going forward, to see to what extent we can help our members there, because if a person can get a bit of a break, God knows it goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know?
You're offering a support service there as well.
Yeah, as much as we can do that.
Yeah.
As much as we can do that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm happy to say that things are going pretty well. Things are always a challenge. We want to get more people on bikes. So we hope to God you'll just have to sign up for us and keep the flag flying, because it's a service we're very proud of, and it's a service we want to grow. And always at the centre of the service are our members. They're central to everything.
Excellent. A great cup of coffee too in the Dean of Lodge, as well, I have to say. Thanks a million for coming in and telling us your story. You are going to stick around. We're going to be talking to other beneficiaries as well. And Cathal, like I always say, this is what it's all about, is actually hearing the stories and hearing from the people behind these wonderful charities.
There's a human interest story in every charity, you know, people that have used the facilities as described by John, the hospice, all of those. And, you know, if I had to make a choice now, I'd find it very difficult. What charity would I cycle for if I was in my prime?
But yeah.
It's wonderful. We get great cooperation from, and the unity is the catalyst that drives this cycle, and working with the charities, it's wonderful experience. I've made so many friends over the years through the charities.
Excellent. And I might ask you kind of the logistics of how people can sign up or what they can do in a while. Joe, please wish Cathal happy birthday. We were very grateful to him for facilitating our participation in the Ringing Cycle in 2018, when we were fundraising for the Ian O'Connell Trust Fund, Jim and Catherine Gleeson. Of course, Ian O'Connell is a presenter now on Radio Kerry, former student of mine. We'll take a break and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney, serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
That's what you're listening. I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. This morning on the programme, we're talking about the Ring of Kerry Charity Cycle, which is back on the road on Saturday, July 4th this summer. Cathal Walsh, PRO of the Ring Kerry Charity Cycle, is still with us. Cathal, just let people know how they can get involved, because we're talking about these wonderful charities here this morning.
Yeah, first and foremost, you go to our website and you'll find there that all the charities that we're talking about here this morning, and also that we have Tier 2 charities, and I'd like to give them a mention as well equally, and Bernardo's Social Action Group based in Ratmore. What a wonderful organisation, Gerard. I don't know what he has done for the elderly people in Ratmore. It's an empire. That's what it is out there. Cycle for Suicide are another Tier 2 charity. We have the Dylan Quirk Foundation, that young Tipperary hurler. We have Enable Ireland, the Irish Red Cross, and Recovery Haven.
Well,
among the other charities that all can be found on the website. And you go in there, sign up for the particular charity that you chose, which I would find very difficult myself, but people have their own choices to make in that regard. They can then set up an I Donate page all through that.
Yeah.
And the more, if you have a human interest story or if you have a very appealing case, put it. And people are so generous. You'd be looking to your friends, your workmates, your relations, families. They all row in behind you when they see a deserving charity that needs your support and needs it very badly. And I would urge people now, we have only 7 weeks to go today. Stay 7 weeks, we'll be on the ring. And all I could hope for is that we'll have a fine day.
Yeah.
And I can only hope for that. No control over it. But we want to have a beautiful day on the Ring of Kerry and be so well looked after medically. Would you believe we have 12 ambulances on the Ring of Kerry?
Whoa.
In the event of something happening.
Yeah.
And if Ambulance A has to move, somebody has to come back, and the cooperation that we have with the Kerry County Council, the Gardaí, and all those people, as I've mentioned already, volunteers, we couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, exactly it.
And I would urge everybody to get up on the bikes now, and for 7 weeks, the more training you've done. And when I was in my prime and 19 and years
ago. You're still
in
your prime, Cathal.
Yeah. Well, I'm just coming into it now. What I did was I cycled up to Moll's Gap.
Yeah.
Now, the first time you do it when you start the training, that's more difficult. But then the second time, you're gaining strength. And if you can climb up to Moll's Gap, you can definitely cycle the Ring of Kerry.
Yeah, very good. Well, I know a lad that did it without any training, but let's just say he needed a lot of jars of Soothe Cream after it.
A unique one, Joe.
Yeah, he did it anyway. He didn't do it again after, but yeah. Now I'm delighted to say we're joined from Jack and Jill Children's Foundation, Brian Morrissey, and also from Brew Columbanus, Margaret Flood. You're both very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Brian, we'll start with yourself. Tell us about Jack and Jill Children's Foundation.
So Jack and Jill, they provide support for families caring for kids with severe learning disabilities and complex medical needs. Our family is actually a recipient of Jack and Jill's care. Our 5-year-old daughter, Roisin, has a syndrome called Angelman syndrome. Jack and Jill basically provide us with the gift of time in many ways. We have a nurse who comes into our house 3 times a week, and it could be something as simple as even taking our daughter for a walk for an hour that would allow me or my wife to do the homework with our other child. Obviously with kids with high needs, it affects the whole family. Jack and Jill are basically, they're a one-stop shop for us. They're there to help us in any way. Great thing about Jack and Jill is there's no waiting list, there's no means tests. The support is there 7 days a week. They're a nationwide charity as well. They actually support 500 charities throughout Ireland and actually 14 families here. Sorry, support 500 families throughout Ireland and 14 families here in Kerry. So, to be honest with you, when I say the words Jack and Jill, I get a smile on my face because they really are there to help us. And Siobhan, who put Jack and Jill here in Kerry, has been fantastic to us.
Mm. What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's Roisin.
And you have another daughter?
We have another daughter, Connie. She's 8 years of age. She'd be listening on the radio here now.
Hello, Connie.
By the way.
Yeah.
So she'd be delighted with that.
Very good. And so when Roisin got her diagnosis, you must feel very alone at that stage. So that's why I suppose later on then when you get, like, when you find out about Jack and Jill, that's where they become vital.
Yeah, I suppose our story is we actually came back from Australia 3 years ago, and you're kind of navigating the Irish system, and we got very lucky. Siobhan contacted us from Jack and Jill, and I suppose when you do have a child with additional needs, I suppose you're navigating a path that not many other people have navigated. So you don't have the answers to specific questions. You don't know where to go for certain items. Jack and Jill, like, we can pick up the phone at any time, and Siobhan will jump straight onto it to help us, and she'll speak to the right people, whether it be in the HSE or whoever we might need to get to. And that's what they're there for. Fundamentally, they provide respite for families. And I suppose we've heard the theme of respite across the previous charities who spoke. It can't be underplayed the importance of that. And something as simple as getting an hour of free time, whether it be to do homework, whether it be to put on a dinner. Sometimes a child with additional needs, you know, they will need to be looked after while you're doing something else. So Jack and Jill are fantastic in supporting us with that.
Yeah, excellent, because there's so much going on anyway in the daily life, and you add that in, that's vital. So you're encouraging people to get on their bike?
Absolutely. I just want a special shout out to Tadhg Fleming. We had the pleasure of meeting Tadhg and Derry yesterday. Fantastic lads. We met them out in Phoenix. So Tadhg is actually cycling for Jack and Jill this year. So Tadhg, Jack and Jill, families like ourselves, we're encouraging everybody to jump on board, sign up for Jack and Jill, and also all the other charities as well. For anyone who's never been to the Killarney on the day, it's a fantastic day. If you're going down there and you haven't actually signed up to do the cycle, the buzz down there is fantastic. You come away thinking, I will do that next year, I must do that next year. So it's a really, really good day. If you're not inclined to get on a bike and you don't have that, for Jack and Jill, if you want to jump onto www.jackandjill.ie, you have to give donations in any way whatsoever, and that would be much appreciated.
Excellent. And once again, hello to Connie and Roisin. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're good now this morning. You might get an ice cream after this or something. under pressure there, no doubt. Margaret Flood from Brew Colin Bannis, tell us about your organisation.
Good morning, Joe. I suppose as Cathal spoke about human interest stories earlier on, I might be one of those stories. I availed of the services of Brew Colin Bannis in June of 2022. I was actually there when my husband was in hospital. I was in Brew Colin Bannis for over 3 months. I'm originally from Scartaglen. I'm O'Connor. I'm married and living in Drumcollar in County Limerick to Niall Flood, who's a Roscommon man, and his mother actually, Cathal, is from Mayo. So yeah, we have a Roscommon flag in the lawn, we have a Limerick flag, and we have a Kerry flag. So it's a little bit like United Nations at the moment, around them. And they stay out as the teams are still in and the Rossies are going through a purple patch. So,
alcohol and relax.
I know we might say we won't go any further there.
Yeah.
So in June 2020, my husband was involved in a hit and run in Drumcollar, and he was airlifted to University Hospital in Cork. And he was in CUH for 3 months and then in rehabilitation after that time. And I was referred to Brew Colin Bannis by the ICU nurses. I actually had not heard of Brew Colin Bannis at that point. And it became a huge part of the healing and of our journey. I made wonderful friends and friendships for life, people who were going through their own trauma and going through their own crisis. And we became, I suppose, a support for one another during a very difficult time. And that might have been in the kitchen in the evening, sitting and having a cup of tea, a cry, listening to people, not talking, whatever it was, there was no judgments. So it is truly a wonderful, wonderful place. For your listeners maybe who aren't fully aware of Brew Colin Bannis, it is a charity run facility in Wilton and Cork. So if you know Wilton, it's just down from the shopping centre, very close to the University Hospital and very close to bus stops then to the other hospitals. It provides 26 ensuite bedrooms in Wilton, and they're all within walking distance, as I said, of CUH. And in 2024, Brew Colin Bannis purchased another property, Corraheen House, and that offers an additional 5 ensuite bedrooms. So in total now, they can provide accommodation for 31 families in need of accommodation, and they can be supported at any given time. And I suppose the demand, like has been mentioned here this morning, is continuing to grow. And so the organisation is needing to expand. And that's where the funding and everything else comes in. Brew Colin Bannis actually is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. And over that period of 20 years, it has supported 11,000 families.
And 11,000?
11,000, yes, families since opening. And the majority of families come from County Kerry. I think it's over 30%, in fact. And it's not just a house, it's not just an accommodation or a room. It's a lifeline for families who find themselves coming from all over Ireland and suddenly finding themselves in this crisis situation. And fundraising is huge. The Ring of Kerry, they're so appreciative to be a charity supported again this year. To run the facility, apparently it costs over $500,000 a year. So they rely very heavily on donations and heavily on fundraising activities to fund that cost.
Yeah.
So the Ring of Kerry is a huge fundraiser for them. And so, you know, I make the appeal this morning, having seen firsthand what Brew Colin Bannis is and how they support people in a time of great need. if you haven't thought about cycling, to maybe have a think about it. All the charities are wonderful here this morning. So, you know, whoever you decide to cycle for, it's going to be money gone to good use. So, you know, there's time yet, as Cathal said. It's not a race, so you don't have to be an athlete to do this. It's a great event. There's great camaraderie. I was there last year as a volunteer, and I hope to be there again this year. So to get out and cycle, and actually my husband had cycled the Ring of Kerry for 6 years, and he was training for the Ring of Kerry when the collision happened in June. So he was actually in Killarney last year giving out medals at the finish line, which, you know, was very emotional.
Yeah.
And we're very grateful that he's here.
And how is he?
He's doing okay. He's sustained a lot of life-changing injuries. He's lost his leg in the collision, amongst other injuries. So he's currently working on prosthesis number 5. He's going down again to the polar unit in Cork on this coming Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, but he's grateful to be alive and to have been given a second chance at life.
Yeah. Send him our best as well.
Thanks very much. And he's listening in the car.
So. Well, hello. You might get an ice cream now as well after this. Margaret, thanks a million for doing a great job and telling the story of Brú Conamanas, and likewise Brian as well. Thanks for telling us your story. We're going to hear more after these, but we'll take a break and we'll be back soon.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
0667123666. Darvel has taken your calls. You can text the WhatsApp 083 300 3300. This morning on the programme we're talking about the Ring of Kerry charity cycle, which is taking place on Saturday, July 4th. And we are talking to the main beneficiaries. And one of those is Ballinskellig's Inshore Rescue. And I'm delighted to say, which I know, by Chairperson Sean Moran and Treasurer Gerard King. You're very welcome this morning, lads.
Thank you.
And I have to say as well, you've made me an ambassador as well, which was a huge honour as well. So I have to acknowledge and thank you for that. It's a huge privilege. Gerard, tell us about Ballinskellig's Inshore Rescue. How did you come about?
Back in 2006, we got together, kind of a reaction really to a tragedy from a visitor to Ballinskellig's. He was washed off the rocks, and we noticed that there was a big pause before we got any rescue services to the area. So in the months after that, we kind of got talking and started from there, really, and started about getting the whole thing on the road.
Hmm. Where are you located?
At Rean Pier in Ballinskellig's.
Right.
We have a boat shed there and all our facilities.
Yeah. And so what kind of services have you provided over those number of years?
We are affiliated to the Irish Coast Guard, who call us if there's any emergency or any issue in the Ballinskellig's Bay, St. Finian's Bay, out as far as Cardonnell in that area. We've towed in boats, we've rescued swimmers, we have done lots of things, got people off the edge of cliffs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sean, tell us why the need is there for to be involved in the Ring of Kerry charity cycle then.
Yeah, I suppose, Joe, most of our equipment now, is, as Gerard said, is there since 2006. And I suppose to be an up-to-date rescue service, we need funds to start upgrading stuff. Not to say that there's any massive, what am I saying, that there's any massive fault or such with our gear, but we just want to provide a more...
Bring it up to standard. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
A better standard of equipment, yeah. Mm. So we're looking for the money for this. We're looking for to upgrade the boats, our rescue equipment, our PPE and stuff. So, yeah.
Mm. You're made up of volunteers as well, aren't you? And they come from all over Soccer, yeah.
All volunteers, yeah. I mean, we have some of the local guys there. We've some of the builders, myself and Gerard, both work locally as well. We have probably 15 on the books, like, of volunteers. Good, solid, genuine volunteers that, you know, at the drop of a hat, whether it is a text message, a shout in the pagers or stuff, they're always there, you know, they'll always show up. Some of our volunteers aren't necessarily boat people, they're ground crew, so they'll man the station, they're there for, let's say, for dealing with families in the incident and stuff, and just, you know, they're good people.
You help out in events as well and all that.
We do, yeah. So we'd say a lot of the events, so triathlons, we'd say hard man swims and stuff in Ballinskellig's, Ballinskellig's Christmas Day swim, we'd provide safety cover, you know, so we'd be out there with the boat, we'd be on the shore and stuff, giving people a hand, yeah.
Mm. Why did you get involved yourself?
Oh, I suppose, Joe, I grew up on the edge of the sea myself, I suppose. Always had an avid interest in all water. All my hobbies, I suppose, are waterborne. was a scuba diver for many, many years. Obviously in 2010 when my young fellow was born, I didn't have as much time for the scuba diving. So, so then I looked for something else that I could give back. But the intro rescue kind of suited me then, you know.
Gerard, why did you get involved?
Why did I get involved? Just an interest, really, in the marine things. My father used to do a lot of fishing. He used to be salmon fishing in Blanskinnigs Bay. Just interest, really. And plus the fact that at the time we spotted that there was a need for the service in the area.
Yeah.
We felt about doing something about it.
Because Sean, I come from South Kerry as well. Everything is about the sea, isn't it? You know, just for livelihoods, but more now for pleasure even. And you talk about children there. Yeah. And we always worry about our children going out, you know, and enjoying themselves in the water and all that. But services like this are vital.
Vitally important. They're vitally important. We've kind of switched the mantra a little bit with the inshore as well, where this year now, before the summer holidays, we're going to visit a few primary schools and do some, you know, water safety aspect and stuff with the kids. We held an open day there maybe 2 years ago, just like a relaunch, just to show people what we were about. We took different people out for spins in the boat, showed them basically what it was all about. And last year we took a couple of school tour groups, believe it or not. A group from St John of God's came and they gave a couple of hours around the boathouse with us. They loved it. We went through all the equipment. We simulated a launch, so to speak. So thanks to Valentia Coast Guard Radio who put off the pagers on a test. The kids were there with us. They got to see the full life thing, jump into the boat, mimic a launch and the whole lot. So, you know, it's all about education. So that's part of what we're there for. Hopefully, you know, as I said, we'll upgrade the equipment. It might give us a chance to do more development in the boathouse and just get our exposure out there.
I have huge admiration for people involved in organisations like yourselves, you know, on the lifeboat and all that, and like fire service and different things, because you'll give you of your time, you're on call as well. So why do you do it? Is there a sense of fulfillment in that, or giving back, or why is it?
A sense of giving back, I suppose, first and foremost, but similar to what Gerard said, always have a massive interest, you know, massive interest in all marine, the coast. Like, as I said, where I grew up, Joe, we learned to swim nearly before we could walk, below around the strand. And it's just the sense of being able to give back, you know, and I suppose educate people. And, you know, like the thing I say with the inshore rescue is, if you break down, there's no hard shoulder. You know what I mean? There's nowhere to pull in. You can't put on your hazards. Normally, when things go to pot, they're gone to pot. It's blown up. So it's just the sense to be able to give back and to be part of the group of 15 lads and girls back there. It's great. We all get on well. We're a good group, and just knowing that there's somebody there that can just be there at a moment's notice. Like, I see our little girl at home now, she's 15, she's starting to drive the boat and stuff, and you know, in a couple of years time she'll be heading out with her friends, and it's just good to know that there's somebody there that can. If they go to wrong, there's somebody else.
You're like the guardian angels, and for visitors as well that come in as well, it's such a vital service. We have to take a break for the news, but you're encouraging everyone as well to get behind.
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyone that's willing and able, get behind Ballinskelly's Inshore Rescue, and of course the other charities as well for this fantastic event. And we have an iDonate page for anyone who's not cycling, and we put the details on our Facebook and our socials.
Excellent. And sometimes when you hear volunteerism, you think, it might be an amateur kind of a group. I watched these lads launch the boat one of the evenings, and the professionalism and how quick they were doing it was highly impressive. Worthy as well. Lads, thanks a minute for telling us all about yourselves. And we'll go to the break. We'll have the news and we'll have more about the Ring of Kerry charity cycle after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new Family Fish Box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars, packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Yeah, we're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement, and I hope you're enjoying the programme this morning, where we are talking about the Ring of Kerry charity cycle and the main beneficiaries involved. And Cathal Walsh, PRO of the Ring of Kerry charity cycle, is with us in studio. Get in touch with us, 0667123666. Darvelous, take your calls. You can text the WhatsApp 083 300 3300. And later on we are going to be talking to Leslie Bond, the author of a new book called Blasket Bound. Leslie and her now husband were the first couple to sign up for the 6-month stint as caretakers on
Great Blasket Island. Very much looking forward to talking to her to find out what it was like. And we'll also hear episode 5 in our series, Voices of the Future in Kerry. And in this programme, Seán O'Sullivan shares a personal reflection inspired by her TEDx talk behind the selfie, Who Are We Really? And it's a lovely episode, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Were you ever on the Great Blasket, Carl?
Never. I looked out.
Yeah.
I got as far as the boat, but I didn't get on it.
I haven't been on it either, and I said I'd make it this summer now, but hopefully I will, yeah.
Almost everything. I've climbed Cairn Tool twice. I did the McGillicuddy Week's Walk. I've been in the Divid's Punch Bowl. I've done all of those things, but...
The actual centre is brilliant there, the Heritage Centre. Just to get you a few of the texts, congratulations to Cahill and family from Martin Murphy and family in Lixnaw, and also Joe, please wish Cahill a very happy birthday. Congratulations to Cahill on his 80th, for all his work for the Ringy Kerry Charity Cycle. Looking forward to helping on the day, making sure all cyclists get by Waterville safely. And that comes in from Tony Donnelly, and I think this is from Tony as well. It is, my brother Kevin joined the Gardaí with Cahill on the same day. No.
Absolutely. 17th November 1965.
Do you remember that day now?
Yeah, I do. And Kevin was a Kerry minor footballer. He played minor football with Kerry. And even to hear somebody talking about playing for their county back then, like a Kerry especially.
Yeah,
like,
he would have played with Mikko, I'd imagine. Yeah. Whoa. Carl, you know, we are talking about these wonderful charities this morning, and it always, like, you should be well used to this, you're 44 years, but you're always, even during the breaks, going, you know, what they do and what that person does and what that group does. You're still amazed by it all.
Oh, I am, yeah. And it's like a jigsaw, everything falls into place on the day. But the organisation and the logistics with regard to the Ring of Kerry from the start to the finish, all the way around the Ring of Kerry. And we like to look after the people that come from far and near, and we have groups coming from America this year, and Great Britain, Northern Ireland, most of the counties of Ireland. Actually, one year I was looking at the statistics, and there was one county missing out of the 32, Fermanagh.
Oh.
But we got onto local radio there and got accommodation in one of the hotels in Killarney. And lo and behold, there were so many willing to come down to Kerry to do the Kerry, to get the 2 nights bed and breakfast and dinner. And hallelujah, we had 32 counties.
That's obviously a thing that stood out to you. You were like, I want to make sure it's 32.
You know, in my time cycling myself, I came across people from Canada who came over, and we'd chat about the similarity between Kerry itself and why did they come. But Ring of Kerry, it's a brand name all over the world.
Yeah. And you know, another thing, Carl, is we're talking about the main beneficiary charities and we're talking about the human interest stories, but the people cycling, you might know nothing about why they're cycling, but they might have a massive reason, and they might have one or two people with them that know how important that day was to them, and they've done an achievement, or they're remembering someone or something like that.
Last year we had a cycle for Shawnee, a group. He died, his first anniversary, the family. And they all had geared out in their appropriate gear for the day, and they enjoyed it. And everybody, the cycles are cycling for a reason.
Yeah, it's cathartic as well, that kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah.
And you know that love stories begin on the ring as well, Joe.
Really?
We've had engagements.
Yeah.
We've had marriages. I've heard of people having twins. And had been cycling the Ring of Kerry previously.
Oh, right. They didn't have the twins on the ring.
Don't go there. But there was one in particular.
There's no child called Rock, Beckham's.
You could meet your knight in shining armour. And we've had some lovely stories like that. Actually, one year we had a couple. Her bike needed attention, and along comes this guy. She never met him before. He happened to rectify the bike for us, and they exchanged telephone numbers. That's 1 year. Back the next year, engagement took place at the finish line. And on the 6th of January, and by God, it was a cold morning, the snow-capped McGillicuddy Reeks and a beautiful setting of Fossa Church.
Yeah.
They got married.
And Nollignoan.
Came down for it. And we gave a Guard of Honour.
That's a great
story.
So
we do a Listone Verna is only
is trailing near awake. Best of luck to Balance Galaxy Shore Rescue, a wonderful volunteer community service protecting us at sea and on the shore 365 days of the year. I want to wish Cahill a happy birthday. The last time I met him was at a Radio Kerry concert. He was doing a charity for St. Francis School in Beaufort. I'm sure he will have a great night. That comes in from Eileen in Beaufort. Best wishes to Cahill Walsh and a happy birthday. He's a gentleman, and I want to wish Cahill a happy birthday as well. And that comes in from Mary as well. Now, we have one other charity that we haven't got to yet this morning, and that is Breakthrough Cancer Research. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Adele Toomey from Breakthrough Cancer Research. Adele, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Joe.
So tell us all about Breakthrough Cancer Research.
Yeah, of course. So we're a Cork-based charity. We would be one of the largest funders of cancer research in Ireland. We're currently supporting over 200 researchers across different institutions. So some of those institutions would be University of Galway, Limerick, Dublin, Queen's in Belfast, and in Cork as well. Our brilliant researchers, they're working tirelessly to find new ways of kind of discovering newer, kinder and smarter ways to support people affected by cancer. All of the funds that are raised for the charity goes directly into funding these researchers. So our mission is to make more survivors of cancer through research. And that's why with events like the Ring of Kerry charity cycle, people that cycle with us and are fundraising with us, they're fueling that mission. So we are extremely grateful to people who fundraise through events like this with the charity.
Yeah, what's it like for yourself to be working with such an organisation, kind of for the greater good as such, you know, it's not just a regular job?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I've been there just over 2 years now. I joined in 2024 and it was my first time ever being involved with the Ring of Kerry charity cycle and an event at its scale, so like such a huge event. Meeting just the stories you hear, like meeting people who've been affected by cancer, have lost like parents and relatives and brothers and sisters, it's heartbreaking. Just hearing like the loss, but at the same time they're so passionate about wanting to fund the research. Even though they've lost their own loved one, they want to support other families so they don't go through that same loss. Like for an example, there's a family who I met at the finish line last year, the Finn family from Dublin. They're involved with the cycle again this year. It was Sean, his wife Fiona, and their two children, Mark and Laura. Fiona was going through cancer herself and sadly passed away 2 months after the Ring of Kerry charity cycle last year. But just even through that loss and sadness, the family are still so strongly spoken on. Yes, we're very, very sad we've lost our mother, but we want to be able to fund the research so no other family goes through this. So it's when you hear stuff like that and meet the people in person, you're like, yeah, there's like, we want to be able to provide better futures for people affected by cancer.
Yeah, and not to go into the medical side of it too much, but like Ireland is contributing greatly in this field, isn't it? And that goes into a global thing as well, because there is no family around the world that isn't affected by cancer.
Yeah, and like at our own charity, we focus primarily on the hardest to treat cancers. So 7 of those cancers, it would be brain, esophageal, pancreatic, liver, lung and stomach. In 2023, we launched an All-Ireland Cancer Network in esophageal cancer. So that was a 1 million collaborative project, kind of bringing together stakeholders, scientists, clinicians, all with the goal of just providing research and ways to support people going through esophageal. And also this year, we launched the second All-Can, and that was in pancreatic research. Again, another 1 million collaborative project. Funds from the Ring of Kerry this year is going towards pancreatic cancer. It is one of the 7 cancers, as I was saying. So funds are so urgently needed for that. Like sadly, with those 7 cancers, it does accumulate to over 50% of deaths in Ireland. So it's just funds are so urgently needed for those 7 cancers.
So you're encouraging people to get on their bike for Breakthrough Cancer Research?
Absolutely. I was ringing a few of the people who've registered already, and one man picked up the phone last week, and I kid you not, he was in the shed looking for the bike and actually physically pulling out the bike while we were on the phone. So just getting to speak to those people, it's amazing. So this would be my 3rd year now, and you know, when you see the registrations come in, I just love seeing familiar names, people that I've kind of gotten to know over the past few years. Like one girl, for example, Kira Burke, I met her at the registration night before the cycle in 2024. And since then, we've just kept in constant contact. We meet up every year at the Ring of Kerry. So it's just incredible people like that who we would love to be a part of our team for the cycle again this year.
Yeah, and you're involved in the fundraising side. Mm-hmm. So like, and I noticed from just talking to the charities, when they're chosen, mm-hmm. it's like they've won the lottery or something. Oh, it gives them such a boost.
Absolutely. It's brilliant. It's the exposure, and just, as I say, it's an event that just supports charities across the country, being able to provide services to families and people who need it, and for ourselves just being able to provide or fund the research that will be helping these families affected by cancer. So yes, like getting the news that we were again selected as a beneficiary, it's just incredible. And look, we came in as a tier 3 charity originally, and then just over the years, just the support has been amazing. So being able to go from a tier 3 to now being a tier 1, it's phenomenal, and it's allowed us to invest thousands and millions into research.
Yeah, and it is true, Carl, isn't it? It gives a massive boost.
It does, of course. And you mentioned tier 3s. They're the potential tier 1s.
Yes.
And, there are small charities that wouldn't have the personnel, like, and we reward them as well on presentation night, usually in October. And another thing, all the charities gain from our, what we call the central fund, because we are, the Ring of Kerry Charity Cycle, are a charity themselves, and people go into that, but they get a portion of that as well on presentation night, and we keep it a secret until then, and that's a big lift to them as well.
Yeah.
And then the tier 3s are invited in that night as well, so you're talking about so many charities, and there's one other charity that do have a great part to play, the Jersey, the Rise and Shine Foundation, formerly known as the Irish Pilgrimage Trust.
Yeah.
I've been in Lourdes with them a couple of times.
Yeah.
The sale of that jersey, they benefit from the sale of that. A beautiful jersey.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a kind of a yellow colour this year.
Yeah, it's a collector's item, isn't it, every year? Yeah.
As Wishy Fogarty, you say, a collector's item, that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's wonderful. But just to get back to cyclists, cycling for a charity, go in there, set up an I Donate page, get a promo on it if you have people who are, well, with phones now and everything.
Yeah.
You can all do it, even guys like me.
Yeah.
And do it, and I've taken to techie, but I have a granddaughter who's very good at things like that, and my son. And would you believe I'm barred from the Plaza Hotel all day? I'm not to go within the doors of it.
There's a whole production going on.
There's an awful lot of things going on that I don't know about. But this is not about me at all now, because you're talking about a team in the Ring of Kerry, and the letter I does not appear in the team.
Yeah.
I'm just one, I'm kind of the front for today, but there's so many, the chairs, all the people who help along the way, those people that I've met along the Ring of Kerry throughout the years, all those friends, and I look forward to it. But I would, our cyclists now, Joe.
Yep.
Put out a final plea 7 weeks to go. Get on your bike, choose your charity, set up an I Donate page, promote yourself on social media, because that's the way forward. Mm-hmm. When we started first, you turned up in the morning and you signed a sheet saying your name was Cahill or Dennis or whatever, and away you went off on your bike.
Yeah.
And there was no feeding stations. You had to feed yourself. But Tom Kane, the late Tom Kane in the rivers, in the Ringside Rest Hotel, how he put up with us, and we drink in the place. And that was the only sustenance we had all day. But things evolve. And my God, I think we have a great event. And I look forward to the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I look forward to meeting all the charities today. And, you know, every day is a school day. And I'm very moved. I know people that availed of Brúchan and Bairns. I know people, my own wife availed of palliative care, both at home and in the unit. And as I said, Down syndrome. I'd bring coffee and eat the apple tart there.
The Dina
everyone,
Lodge, yeah.
I connected to everyone there in some way.
Yeah, that's the way it is around the county, isn't it?
And we're all together. Nínart Curla Kéile.
Excellent. Arios. Adele, thanks a million for coming in and telling us all about your wonderful organisation, Breakthrough Cancer Research, and also to the rest of the charities as well. We had Mauro Sullivan and Ginny Tarrant from the Kerry Hospice Foundation. We had Brian Morrissey speaking about Jack and Jill Children's Foundation, Margaret Flood from Brew Columbanus. We had Sean Moran and Gerard King from Ballinskellig's Inshore Rescue, and we had John O'Connor for Down Syndrome Kerry. Cahill, I'm going to shake your hand because I want to wish you a very happy birthday. It's always a pleasure to meet you and to ring you. You have a great way about you. You always come away after talking to Cahill with a smile on your face. You have a lovely easygoing manner as well, which I think is vital when you're organising events, that you need to be nice and calm and easygoing, and that's what you are. So you fully deserve your 80th birthday tonight. Have a great night.
Thanks.
And no doubt it'll be a great night. And take plenty of selfies now that you're so open to technology. And I look forward to hearing the postmortem after it.
That's true. And Joe, the way it is, if I want to panic, I can organise it.
Very well said. So it's on July 4th. And the website is ringofkerrycycle.ie. That's where you go. And again, best luck to all these wonderful charities. Hi, Joe. Congratulations and happy birthday to Cahill. Best wishes to all involved in the Ring of Kerry Cycle and all those deserving charities. And that is very well said, Charles. Deserving. Now we're going to take a break and we'll have lots more after this. And we'll have also later on the programme be talking to Leslie Bond of Blasket Bound.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in store.
I go to beautiful Ballinskellig's every year for my holidays, this listener says. My kids are swimming and loving the water every day. So it's wonderful to hear that Ballinskellig's Inshore Rescue are there on standby if anything goes wrong. And what a wonderful message that is. Now, this is episode 5 in our series Voices of the Future in Kerry. And in this programme, Seán O'Sullivan shares a personal reflection inspired by her TEDx talk Behind the Selfie, Who Are We Really? An honest look at the reality facing many modern teenage girls, comparison, cyber pressure, loneliness and the constant search for acceptance in a world shaped by social media.
This documentary was produced by Connie Broderick and Joe McGill and is funded by Comisión na Mban with the television licence fee.
This is Voices of the Future in Kerry. The youth of today shaping tomorrow. When you look at a photograph of a teenage girl today, what do you see? A smile, a pose, a perfect image. Behind that image, there's another story, one we don't always tell. My name is Seán O'Sullivan, and in this episode, I want to bring you behind the selfie, into the world teenage girls are really living in today. And to do that, I want to share something personal. My TEDx talk. Not the whole thing, but the pieces that shaped me and the parts I hope will help someone listening. Hi, my name is Seán and I'm a teenage girl. Being a teenager is a confusing time. We have it easy, you may say. Comparisons all the time. And the famous statement, in my day. Have you any idea how annoying that is for us teenagers to hear? Sometimes I feel like any day now, my mom is going to come down from the attic with a dinosaur bone and try and convince me she hunted for food as a teenager and lit campfires with stones to keep warm. Your day is not our day. It's different. And I don't think anyone was prepared for how different it could be. The portrayed perfect life of a teenage girl and this journey is really significant to me and probably lots of other teen girls. An image is portrayed, and I can assure you it's not a good image. It causes jealousy, competition, and bullying. It's never acknowledged, and it's all back to us having everything, not knowing what hard work is, or being selfish. The reason I say portrayed is because adults seem to think that life is better for teenagers nowadays. I mean, we don't have any major responsibilities. We go to school, we play sports, and we spend hours in our bedrooms taking selfies and scrolling. We can be moody, but that's down to hormones, right? Or is it?
When I wrote that opening, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to explain something simple. Adults think they know what our world is like, but they don't see the pressures we live with every day. Not the scrolling, not the comparison, not the quiet fear underneath it all.
Am I going to be judged if my stomach isn't flat enough, my thighs aren't small enough, if my jawline isn't defined enough, if I'm not curvy, but not in a big way, in a skinny way? Am I going to be judged if boys don't like me, but they can't like me too much, because then I'm seen as a threat? I will tell you a story about a teenage girl who could never fit in. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? I'm 13 years old, and I'm standing across from the girl in the mirror. The mirror is a friend to me, and an enemy too, standing there, wondering why other girls are so mean. Wondering, maybe if I looked more like them, at the girls I see on social media while I waste my day scrolling, I'll be accepted. And maybe, just maybe, everything will be okay, and I'll start to love the girl in the mirror. I'm 14 years old, and I'm lying down in my room, lights off and blankets over me. I can see the warm light coming from underneath my door, and I hear the sounds of laughter coming from downstairs. But for some reason, I feel like the most loneliest person in the world. I feel as if all the walls in my bedroom are suffocating me.
An image is portrayed for young girls to look a certain way, to dress and act a certain way. This isn't okay. It's okay to be different. It's okay to not want to be like everyone else. It can be so tiring trying to constantly be the same as everyone else. Just because someone isn't a size extra small or the perfect height with the perfect curves and a perfect laugh doesn't mean they need to be treated any differently. Beauty comes in all shapes and forms.
I bet most teenagers you know have a phone, and many of you adults who have teenagers probably worry about the usage and how many hours we spend on it. You've probably had rules about usage in your home, went to many internet safety talks, and confiscated their phones with battles that followed in tears. It's like taking drugs from a drug addict, alcohol from an alcoholic, and money from a gambler. A poll was conducted with 2,000 teenagers between the ages of 13 and 18. It reported that half of them felt anxious without their phones. This is a discussion at the Teen Summit 2025 in the UK. We know about the dark side and the impact of social media. Trust me, we know. I've had many battles at home about my phone, and I've heard all the horror stories, yet I still feel trapped.
What? You think if you remove our phones from our life, all our problems, all that built-up anxiety, will go away? Probably. But at what cost? Is it worth the arguments? Is it worth the tears? Is it a long-term solution or just a short-term? Is it a punishment rather than a positive? You can remove the cause, but you can't remove the damage already done. We need a long-term solution, one that will actually work rather than create a divide between parents and teens.
The past 4 years of my teenage life, I've compared myself to other girls.
wished I could be them, even started to act and dress like them. I started to do things I would have never done before, became friends with girls who would have been awful to other girls. And I never said anything because I was afraid they would do the same thing to me. And in the end, they did. What did they do wrong? They were mean. There's no law against that, I suppose. Of all the places in the world you can imagine, a garden centre is not where I wanted to be on a sunny Sunday with my mom. Little did I know that's exactly where I was supposed to be. As I walked around with my head on my phone, my mom began to talk to this gardener, and he showed us this tree called the Canadian Redwood. He told me to touch the tree. The tree was soft on the outside, but hard on the inside. And he said, no matter how stormy it gets, the tree will always stand tall. After we chatted with the man, we began to walk away, and he called out after me, and he said, young lady, where do you live? In the moment, I thought it was a very simple question, so I said, my house. The man looked at me and he repeated his question. He said, no, where do you live? I looked at the man with curiosity and I laughed. I said, my bedroom. The man smiled at me and he repeated his question. He said, no, you live within yourself. You will always live there. So look after it, respect it, and nurture it. You can imagine how I felt in this moment. He was not only a gardener, but a very wise man. It was a powerful moment, and I truly believe I was meant to hear it, because I knew I had to do something, as I no longer loved myself. School was hard for me. You had two options. Be the one who got targeted, or be the one who stood back and let it happen. There was no in between. There was only so much I could sit back and watch before I decided I had enough. And then, as I expected, the tables flipped and I was the target. I was considered weird because I had my own opinions, because I didn't feed into the negativity. I was seen as a threat because I was different. This is a social crisis among the youth of today, and it needs to change. Your elders guided you, people you knew and trusted. Now our guides are those with followers, those who are popular on a screen. I see so many teenagers crying in the loneliness of their rooms, hoping someone will like or reach out to them. And people do. Many thousands of miles away, we as teenagers have learnt, the more hurt you are on social media, the more attention you get. The more sexualized you are, the more attention you get. We are a lost society and it needs to change. When I spoke about this, I was reflecting on how guidance for young people has changed. It used to come from people in our communities, those who knew us through our moms and dads, our granny and granddads, and those who cared for us. Today, much of that influence comes from screens and strangers online. Social media can connect us, but it can also deepen loneliness. If we want things to change, we need to focus on building real connections again, where young people feel seen and supported beyond likes or followers. And I want adults to finally start finding ways to help the teenager behind the selfie. In the next episode of Voices of the Future in Kerry, I'm going to explore what happens beyond the screen and what adults working with young people are noticing and what actually helps when it comes to mental health. So stay with us. There's a lot more to come on Voices of the Future in Kerry. Voices of the Future in Kerry. The youth of today, shaping tomorrow.
Yeah, that was episode 5 in our series, Voices of the Future in Kerry, and Seana O'Sullivan featured there. And if you'd like to watch Seana's full TEDx talk, you can find it at tedxtralee.com. What a fantastic job she did there. Now we're going to take a break, and after that we're going to be speaking to Leslie Bond about her new book, Blasket Bound. And Leslie and her now husband were the first couple to sign up for the 6-month stint as caretakers on Great Blasket Island.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer-ready meals available.
As you're listening to it, I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. You can get in touch with us, 0667123666. Darvelous, take your calls. You can text WhatsApp on 083-300-3300. Now, Leslie Bond and her now husband were the first couple to sign up for the 6-month stint as caretakers on Great Blasket Island. And Leslie had nurtured a lifelong obsession with the Blaskets. And when the opportunity arose, she and Gordon packed up their car and left life in the commuter belt of Kildare for the wilds of West Kerry. It's a beautiful account of life on an island with limited access to the comforts we take for granted, a celebration of the friendships made with visitors and a glimpse into the hidden gems found on the island when you have time to truly explore all its secret nooks and crannies. And the book is Blasket Bound, and I'm delighted to say its author, Leslie Bond, is on the line. Leslie, how are you this morning?
Good morning, I'm great. Thanks a million for having me.
So I suppose firstly, Leslie, what appealed to you about the Blaskets? I mentioned the lifelong obsession. Why did that obsession begin?
Well, it's funny, Joe. I have no memory of the first time I ever saw or heard about the Great Blasket Island, but I seem to have always known about it and always have had that really strong interest in it. And over the years, I would have read every book I could find about it. And as you know, there are so many books in the Blasket Library and such rich and detailed accounts of life there. And when the opportunity came up, when I was doing my master's in Trinity College, I was studying cultural heritage, and I knew immediately that I would use this as an opportunity to look a bit closer at the Great Blasket's history and its story and its culture. And that's what I did. I looked into its intangible cultural heritage, and I was interested in that because I suppose we all know the heritage of the Blasket and how important it is to both West Kerry and to Ireland, and putting Ireland on a global stage, yet it doesn't have a community living on the island at the moment. And that let me go and spend some time there and stay overnight. And ultimately, it's what led to me seeing the advertisement come up the following year and taking the job. So it was a long road to get there, but it's one I feel started, I suppose, at the very beginning when I was a child.
Yeah. Now, I live in South Kerry. My mother's from Valentia Island, and I live close to Valentia Island. So we actually see the Great Blasket, you know, every day. And we actually use it to judge the weather. If it's closer, you know, there's bad weather, and if it's further away or whatever. And I, to my embarrassment, haven't been on the Great Blasket yet. And I've only recently, I went with my little baby and my wife to the Heritage Centre there, and it's absolutely wonderful to go in there and find out all about it. And I keep saying that I'd love to go on it. But I have a romantic notion of it. Did you have that kind of a romantic notion of living there, that it'd be amazing? And did that fit with the reality of actually living on the island?
Yeah, well, I suppose you definitely do. I mean, you know yourself, looking out at it, it's this, you know, beautiful island floating in the Atlantic, and you think, God, wouldn't it just be amazing to give up everything and go over there? And I think before we had the job secured, I still thought that. But then I think as you get closer to the cold showers and the no electricity, you start to think, I wonder what it'll be like. But you know what? I have to say, there are very few places I think you can go where it absolutely does live up to your expectations. I actually think Skellig Mhic Eil is one of those places too.
Yeah.
But it really did match what I hoped it would be, and far more than that. I think I obviously have had a lifelong interest in the Great Blasket, but I met so many people on the island who maybe had only come across from Dunkeen, or had travelled from the other side of America to be there, or maybe just found out that day with a boat going to the Blasket and wanted to go to it. And they would all say the same thing. They would say there is something about this place. And I think it does. I've never met a person who spent time there who said, oh, it wasn't for me. There is just something about the Great Blasket.
Yeah. Did it give you an appreciation for the way life was? I've watched a series kind of episodes. One I remember in particular, this an immigrant returned home. He was a doctor in America, and he came back and he talked about how difficult life was actually on the island. It was a tough life.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we had the privilege of going there and, you know, having a step away from our everyday life on the mainland. But that was not the reality for the people who lived there. That hardship was there every day. And I certainly would look back and wonder how they did it. And actually, even in the years since having become a mother and, you know, have my own home, I think back to it and wonder, how did they manage the ups and downs of daily life? And they account so well for the hardship and the losses that they suffer, the children that they lost, the times they were cut off, the illnesses encountered. And they do it with such grace. And I think that's what always comes through for me in the literature, that they carry that with them, but they do it lightly. And they know that in order to survive there, they have to keep going. And obviously, ultimately, they had to make the decision to leave. But it's clear from their writing that that wasn't a decision they made easily.
Yeah. And your husband, did he have much of a, no husband, but did he have much of a say on going on the Blaskets? Was he up for it?
Thank God he was. And to his credit, he never went back on the first time he said yes about going. And he said yes immediately. I saw the advertisement come up when I was on the train home from Dublin one day. I was working with the National Library in the Seamus Heaney exhibition at the time. And I was on the 6 p.m. train out of Houston, and this advertisement appeared online. And I immediately stood up out of my seat and went to the door of the carriage to call him. And he was on a bus home from Dublin to Kildare. And I said it in about 3 seconds flat that this job had come up and could we apply for it and would he go? And he said, yes, I'll call you when I get home. And to be fair to him, he never went back. I made the call that evening to Billy and Alice, who managed the Great Blasket Island Experience. And 2 weeks later, we had the job and we never looked back.
Yeah. Stay with us because we have to go to a break, but we're going to hear more from Leslie Bond about her new book, Blasket Bound, after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.
Now, earlier we heard episode 5 in our series Voice of the Future in Kerry, and we heard from Seán O'Sullivan where she shared a personal reflection inspired by her TEDx talk Behind a Selfie, Who Are We Really? Got a lovely message in there to say what a wonderful speaker that teenager is. Well done, and so heartfelt, and I couldn't agree more. I'm delighted to say we're still joined by Blasket Bound author Leslie Bond. Leslie and her now husband were the first couple to sign up for the 6 month stint as caretakers on Great Blasket Island. And I suppose a lot of people, Leslie, will be wondering, you mentioned no electricity and everything else. How did he actually survive for the 6 months?
Well, I have to say, the island, I think, it teaches you how to live with it. And, you know, you get used to the dark evenings quite quickly. It was the one thing, I suppose, beyond the hot showers, I was worried about that thing of having the light leave in the evening. And, you know, we're also used to sitting up on the couch with a cup of tea in the evenings. But I found that because we arrived in spring and the days were that bit shorter and we moved into summertime, you could see the light kind of coming into the house earlier in the morning or later into the evening. And there is a very, very small wind turbine at the back of the house. It's the size of a child's fan that it has at the beach on a sunny day. And it connects to a little plug socket that allows you to keep your phone charged. And okay, that just meant we could stay in touch with Billy and Alice about groceries or laundry or sailings that day, because as I'm sure your listeners know, the crossing to the Blasket can be a bit hit or miss depending on the weather. So we kind of had to be in the know most days. But to be honest, yeah, you do just find that the island shows you how to live there. You don't really notice the electricity once you kind of find your feet and get used to cooking with gas and leaving a bit longer for the kettles to boil.
Yeah, and I'd imagine that it's kind of an opportunity to get to know your partner, but also to get to know yourself.
Absolutely. And I've been asked so many times, did it teach me anything about myself, or did I feel I was changed as a person? But I actually think what it did was allow me to see who I actually was, or get to know myself a bit better. And I think that comes from the silence of it. You know, we're all so busy and there's so much going on in our lives every day, but to be in a place where there's no interruption to that except for the chats you have with visitors, the chats you have with your partner, the daily kind of routine you have of work and then rest and then sleep, it lets your brain kind of adjust and be heard a bit more clearly. And it was a really unique privilege to have that, and it's certainly something I've carried with me in the years after.
Another unique thing, you mentioned the literature and the heritage of the place, but it's the wildlife is absolutely stunning and amazing there as well. And I'd imagine being there, that must have been very special.
Absolutely, it's remarkable. And, you know, I think the iconic images you see of the Blasket or of the seals down on the strand, and they really do become your neighbours. You hear them all day, and their song carries up to the cottages at night time. They kind of sing you to sleep almost. And they actually, you were saying you look at the Blasket to tell the weather, but I used to watch the seals to know the weather. You'd see them come in if the wind was coming from a certain direction, they'd go back out. And if a storm was coming, the seals would always tell you first. And then the bird life is, I mean, I try to keep note of the amount of birds I saw, but you really do lose track. I remember the most incredible experience was seeing a peregrine falcon when standing at Ceann Dubh, which is the very furthest western reach of the Great Blasket. And I think it was probably the definition of a very kind of close to nature experience. But yeah, the wildlife, you'd never get bored of watching nature work around you out there.
The book itself, it's described as a celebration.
Yes, and I hope that's what it is. I've heard people say it reads almost like a love letter to the Great Blasket, and I really hope that is what comes through in it. I want to celebrate, I suppose, for me, the time I spent there and the unique and very lucky time we spent, but also a celebration of that unique and remarkable heritage. Like I said, the island is special in that it doesn't have a community living on the Great Blasket, but what it does have is a community there in Corcabuena, and through the work of the Blasket Centre and the incredible team there, that heritage is being reclaimed and held on to and celebrated and brought to every new generation. I mean, the mere fact that we still talk about Peg, or that I'm able to write this book and share it with the world, means that that heritage has not gone anywhere. And I think that is something to be celebrated.
Do you miss it?
I do. I always do miss it, but in a less melancholy way, I think, than I would have years ago. I think had I written the book maybe in 2020, the year after we left, it probably would have come across a bit more sad.
Yeah.
And sad that I wasn't there and sad that I had to leave it behind. But I think in the time since, you know, going on to have a baby and start my life with Gordon, I think what I miss is maybe the moments of peace and quiet or the closeness to nature. But what I'm most grateful for is what it gave me is that sense of knowing myself and that appreciation for landscape and memory and nature. But I will always miss it. It's something I carry very close to me.
Yeah, very good. If people want to avail of the book, where can they go?
It's in all good bookstores. It's in O'Mahony's, Dingle Bookshop, all the bookshops throughout Kerry, and available online through Easton's or any of your independent booksellers.
Excellent. Well, Leslie, thanks a million for coming on and telling us all about it, and best of luck with it and continued success, and all the best to the new family as well, to Gordon and to, what's the baby's name?
Nisha, little Nisha. He's 21 months old now, so keeping us on our toes.
Oh, I can imagine. Very good. Well, Leslie, thanks a million for coming on this morning and continued success.
Gourmet, thanks a million.
That is Leslie Bond there, and her book is Blasket Bound, and like she said, out now and available in all good bookshops and online as well. And if you Google it, it actually shows up very quickly as well. Now, that's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Pat Kelly is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. And also our theme, people were asking, what's the theme for our photography stop with Dominic Walsh? It's summertime in Kerry. Wouldn't think that looking out the window this morning. But then again, tidn't always sunny in summertime in Kerry, is it? Maybe you have a rainy day that represents your summertime in Kerry. So you can send them in to us as well. And a big thank you to our listeners. It's been mentioned the Radio Kerry listenership is up, and over 40,000 of you tune into the Saturday Supplement every morning. So thanks a million for that. Really appreciate it, and love to have your company here every Saturday morning. That's all we have time for. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll talk to you again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.